Anyway, how many people, this is your first time to a show called Stab?
Oh, my God.
Wow. And I was talking to a lot of you, a lot of you people read about it online. How many onliners found out about it online? Wow. This is crazy.
It's working.
It's working. It is
it's
working.
Good to see.
Yeah.
That I'm not wasting my time on Facebook. SAC 365 or or whatever the hell News 10 websites.
Is that where you're?
Yelp. It's on all of them.
Are you putting it on Tinder?
It's not on Tinder yet. No.
We should just get a picture of like a really hot guy and then, you know, Steve. And then like we'll... And then it'll be like, you want to go to a date on a Wednesday night? Every first and third Wednesdays? You want to come? 8 o'clock?
He's got a very specific schedule, that guy, Stab.
Yeah. I don't know if I like the name Stab for your Tinder profile.
Not in Sacramento, no.
Yeah.
That's...
Roughly 24 to 92 hours ago, Stab's team of comedy scientists commissioned 4 specific humorists to give various potentially comedic takes on several random topics, which they'll now perform for the first and likely last time in front of a live studio audience in a show called Stab.
Oh my God. The triumphant return of Stab. We're home again. Thank you guys for coming. You can stop clapping now if you want. It's okay. Are you guys ready to meet your contestants for Stab? Start clapping again. Yes. Now stop clapping. Over. Steve Ferris, start clapping. Continue the clapping. Corrine Lemke in the middle. Jesse Jones. Yes, keep clapping. Jay Wheeler.
I'll take it.
I'm just pointing people out.
Disingenuous or not, I'll take that enthusiasm.
Welcome to Stab. This is our 53rd episode, I believe. We've been doing shows in San Francisco, so you guys are lucky to have us here in your small town that we also live in. It's good to be here. Steve Ferris, thank you for being here.
Oh, you're welcome.
I appreciate you.
Thanks.
Yeah. I don't know if you guys knew this about Steve. Steve is a tractor. Steve is a tractor. Mechanic. Tractor. You kind of are. You're also selling a Cadillac.
Well, we'll see what happens.
You don't know?
We got to find the right home for it.
It's not a kitten.
Well, it is to me.
But it sure does purr, right? I don't know.
Well, okay. Sometimes it does, yeah.
That's a nice Cadillac. My dad owned that very Cadillac, that same... Okay.
Maybe you want to... Well,
he's dead. to me, Corrine Lemke. How are you?
I'm doing well.
First timer?
Yeah.
I've never even met you, and you're on the show.
You've seen me backstage. We've been in proximity.
Yeah, I have. No, I don't know if that was weird. Have we seen each other
your
back?
Your children were with you and stuff.
Yeah. I bring my children backstage to comedy shows. What's going on? What are you doing? What are you doing, Steve?
Well, I ordered some food, and then Art doesn't know where to put it. So, yeah. I'll get it.
I'd like to put it.
Well, it's going to end up there eventually. Anyway.
Let's back to Corrine.
All right, yeah.
Stop taking my time.
Yeah, Corrine, what's your gig? What do you do?
I do sketch comedy at the Sacramento Comedy Spot.
For a living?
Yes.
Oh my God, that is awesome.
Super professionally.
Wonderful. Yeah. Thank you. You are here by the grace of God. And I don't know.
I hadn't even noticed.
Yeah, I just wanted you to know. I don't know if you guys knew this about Corrine. She is an MMA fighter. Also.
Accurate.
MMA fighter. She doesn't have any fights under her belt
yet. I only fight Jesse.
That's right. Yeah. Jesse is also an MMA fighter. That's a great transition.
Semi-pro. Yeah.
Open mic, MMA fighter. Just kind of pick fights with drunk people.
Still counts.
Jesse Jones.
Yes.
You're here for your 68th show in
Something.
A row.
I don't know. It's not Thank in a row you. Necessarily, but yeah.
This guy is a machine, much like Steve was a tractor. Jesse Jones, he was performing in San Francisco last night. He did both shows, and he's doing both shows tonight. He had to write 4 shows.
Nobody cares that
much. It's impressive.
It doesn't matter.
It's impressive.
No. Oh, well, Jay I Wheeler appreciate does. It.
We're also on Periscope or Meerkat right now, so if you guys get bored,
just pull up your phone and watch it on the screen.
All right, guys. Let's start this goddamn show. All right, ready? There we go. It's down. Told you, production value.
Yeah.
Welcome to Stab. This first segment is called This Was Today Once. Stephen Ferris. On this date, 2008, Barack Obama becomes the first person of African-American descent to be elected president of the United States. You know what else happened on this first on this date? 1946, Laura Bush, American educator, 45th First Lady of the United States, was born. How about these things? In tandem.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. both. What, so that would have been her 53rd, 63rd birthday?
I don't know.
Well, whatever. something third. Anyway. Happy birthday, Laura. I figure she was probably like, huh, that's weird. I wonder if it's a sign or something. But really, in a way, it was like her husband's birthday present to the whole country for her birthday. It's like we got the present, even though it was her birthday. So you got to figure that Bush's popularity at the time contributed at least somewhat to John McCain's loss. So like Bush was responsible for that happening to some degree.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of makes you think if maybe like George mixed up his relationship with his wife and his relationship with the country. But like he didn't really have any control over whether or not it was that day or a different day. So I don't know, maybe not. And then I was kind of wondering if like maybe he got her something else for her birthday too, but I don't
besides
know how
the president,
find that out.
You could write your congressman. They might know.
I guess so. I didn't have time to do that though. So.
All right. Thank you, Steve.
Sure.
Steve, were you done? Were you done? I don't want to.
That's it. Yeah.
All right, Steve Ferris. Yes. Corrine, this is your first prompt. Don't fuck it up.
Okay.
You'll never be back on the show again if this isn't funny. So I just no pressure. I just want you to know. I hold grudges. On this date, 1791, the Western Confederacy of American Indians wins a major victory over the United States in the Battle of Wabash.
You know, it's all the same.
Yeah. Guess what else happened on this very date? In 2011, Andy Rooney, American journalist and author, got dead. Got hella dead. He died. He became not living. How did you celebrate these events in tandem?
Well, of course, I started by scalping off my obscenely luscious old white dude eyebrows and loosely throwing around some racial slurs.
Right.
I then sat down at my wooden desk to deliver a commentary segment I like to call A Few Minutes with Corrine Lemke. Ever notice that when U.S. Army loses, there's always a ton of excuses? The actual excuses used are as follows. Excuse one, General St. Clair was plagued with illness. Ever wonder how horrible STDs were before penicillin? I know I have. Excuse two, the Army faced frigid temperatures. What, did you forget that it's November and you're going to be, oh, I don't know, outside? And did you also forget that global warming hadn't yet turned November into another unbearably hot month? Excuse three, due to constant supply trouble, the men were weak. Well, then I guess you shouldn't have tried to fight a bunch of people who don't need supplies to survive. Excuse four, two of St. Clair's horses were shot out from underneath him. They were just shot out clean from underneath you? After the first time that happened, were you just like, oh, darn. Better walk back and get another one. You don't hear the horses complaining about every time a human gets shot off their back, do you? Excuse five. The Army's cannons were aimed too high.
I really can't blame General St. Clair for that one. If I've learned anything from Wile E. Coyote, it's that cannons are free thinkers that do what they want and not what they are told.
Excuse six. Chief Little Turtle is a fierce warrior who shows no mercy. Chief Little Turtle, huh? He sure sounds like a terrifying warrior.
I'm pretty sure Andy Rooney faced a more humbling opponent when he struggled with Edna Smith for the last foam noodle before his water aerobics class.
Very good, Corrine Lemke, with a dead-on Andy Rooney impression that nobody got because no one's over 40. And here,
wow.
And that was my fault when I gave the prompt of Andy Rooney thinking people, but you knocked it down.
YouTube.
You picked it up.
Look it up, people.
And very good, very good.
Andy Rooney. Beloved American.
Jesse Jones.
Yes.
Congratulations. Today is the day of love in Egypt.
Yeah.
I don't know if you knew that. You know what else happened on this very date? 1960. At the Kasakila chimpanzee community in Tanzania, mm-hmm. director Jane Goodall observes chimpanzees creating tools, the first ever observation in non-human animals. Wow. How about these things?
Well, Jonathan, so inspired was I by these two stories, the one of an entire calendar day dedicated to the celebration of love, the other of the ingenuity of simple animals, that I decided the only logical way I could possibly celebrate them together was by creating, by hand, my very own synthetic life form capable of feeling and giving love. Now, it may surprise you to hear that I know absolutely nothing about robotics. Or really electronics in general. I throw my phone away whenever its battery dies. And no matter when I come home, it's somehow always 12. According to the flashing clocks all around my house. But I was undaunted. I would create life. To begin, I naturally found the two heaviest rocks I could lift with one hand. I knocked these rocks against one another and snorted. I then threw them on the ground and slapped the tops of them both repeatedly. In a rush of excitement, I laughed and shouted, "Computer!" Flush with success, I decided to reward myself by shitting in the corner of the living room that I long ago declared was where that act was to regularly take place. After sniffing at my freshly fallen pile long enough to confirm that it was indeed mine, I returned to my workshop. Stick! Next, obviously, came stick. I mean, what sort of artificial life form could I possibly build without a liberal application of stick? And stick I did. I repeatedly and frantically hit the rocks with the stick, programming the robot brain with my chaotic arrhythmical attack. Needless to say, this intricate work went on for hours. Soon I felt the hunger monster in my belly and used stick to knock cookies from shelf. I held up cookies and shook them violently, warning nearby predators that cookies were mine and mine alone. Then I guess it got late and the sun ran away. I screamed at the sky for the sun to come back, but it didn't. It hasn't still. I am strong. When I yell at the sun, I expect it to listen. But the sun is bigger than me, I guess. I can't see robot when sun goes away. So I guess I'm done working on robot today. Until then, I'll keep growling at my rock computer, suspiciously, until the sun returns to the sky. At flashing 12 tomorrow morning.
This was Today Once. This is still Stab. I feel like we should turn the lights down a little bit. I feel like everyone can see each other laughing, and it's affecting your relationship with each other. I just want...
gotta get cozier.
Can we get a little... yes. There we go. That's better. I think I like that better. I think. This next segment is called the Topical Haiku Challenge. Gentlepersons. I almost said gentlemen. Very sorry.
Don't get girls
topical haiku challenge. A large segment of white middle-aged Americans has suffered a startling rise in its death rate since 1999. The mortality rate for white men and women ages 45 to 54 with less than a college education increased markedly between 1999 and 2013, most likely because of the problem with legal and illegal drugs, alcohol, and suicide. The researchers concluded, lots of white men and women, middle-aged white, just killing each other off.
Well, killing themselves.
Killing themselves off.
Killing each other is a whole different thing.
That's true. That is true. Please, I've written three haiku in regards to this troubling phenomena for people that look like me. We'll do one at a time. Steve, your first haiku?
Okay.
About white people dying. White death.
Okay, now I'm referring to the number nine in this, but also to the German word
sure.
Nine.
Okay.
A little bit of a pun there. Right.
Thank you. Bit of a pun.
Love potion nine. 4 + 5 = 9. 5 and 4 = 9.
Very good.
Should I explain it? Or?
Well, 1999, age 54.
Well, it's not like they died. Like, no more life.
Right? Okay, right.
It's good.
You know, comedy is the best when it's explained.
For me, a lot of times, yes.
Yeah, that's true. Corrine, your first haiku about the White Death.
Star Wars, Episode 1. George Lucas, why kill my soul? We've hit rock bottom.
It's dark, I know. Sad.
Sorry.
Jesse Jones.
My first is titled, A New Loan on Life. I guess crippling student loan debt gives you that something to live for. See, without college educations.
Right. Yeah. There's a lot of information in the setup.
Yeah. That was a big chunk that they had to digest up front.
It was. There were a lot
of
numbers.
So we'll be explaining each one of them as we go along.
Uneducated white people, not good with life.
Yeah. Well, that summed it up pretty good.
Yeah, you're welcome. Steve Ferris, your second of third haiku, please.
Okay.
Wait. Oh. There we go. We need the music.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
It's gonna go on the. All right. I was waiting for it to end.
Oh.
5 × 9 begins increased death for the whites. Ends with 6 × 9. 54.
Yep. All right.
Okay.
Corrine.
Okay. Y2K is here. Cyanide capsule half crushed. Oops. Poison control?
Jesse Jones.
Second is titled Sixth Sense. Uneducated. Old. White. Drugs and booze. So. I'm dead already then?
Very good. That's funny and it deserved more.
That's all right.
I'm just going to say.
There was nary a math problem in it, so.
Yeah. Yeah. That was good. Save math. Steve.
Okay. Party over. Oops. We've been partying since, like, 1999.
Very good. You see, because the mortality rate started in 1999.
Yeah.
Okay, very good.
Turn of century. Being white, no longer cool. Party like it's 90.
How many syllables is that? Is that one?
That sounds like one.
Okay, yeah. Good. It fit in the haiku police? Yes, okay.
All right.
Jesse Jones, bring us home with this segment.
Third is called The Circle of Truth. Wow. This study's rough. Really makes me feel depressed. Liquor will fix that!
That was the Topical Haiku Challenge. This show is still called Stab. This next segment is called Reorganization. Reorganization is the next. It's a fan favorite. You guys would know that if you're here more. Okay. Are we having a good time? Are we? No? Are we? How about, how many people do we have on Periscope? Oh, okay, good. Yeah, okay, good.
They went away?
Yeah, you chased all five, three plus two people away.
Is that true?
No. All right. Don't say it's true, please. Okay. Please don't tell me it's true. All right, this segment's called Reorganization. Reorganization. Take these existing this existing acronym and reimagine it. What does it the new acronym stand for? What or who does it now represent? In honor of all the dead whites, today's acronym is SWF. SWF, what does it now mean to you, Steve William Ferris? I don't know if that's SWF. Okay.
Stephen Mark Ferris, actually.
Oh, upside down, Debbie.
Upside down, right. Okay. Okay, SWF equals sauce with fish.
Okay.
A vague new dish from Long John Silver's. We came up with something simple that everyone can understand. It's sauce with fish. It's like everyone knows what it is, but no one knows what it is. At least it's not fish sauce. Come on down to LJS's. We've got lots of SWFs here. That's sauce with fish now for all you racists. Sauce with fish. It's what you wish.
Very good. Steve Ferris, SWF, sauce with fish. Every time he says sauce with fish, I don't know. It just tickled me. Tickled me pink. Korean something. SWF, what does it mean to you?
After the widespread success of the prison pet partnership, the Comisionado General de Mexico has implemented a new program which aims to combat organized crime, the war on drogas, and general concerns for national public security. By offering convicted criminals a little bit of creature comfort, this controversial program, SWF, or Snuggling with Federales, is set to go into effect mid-Agosto. Prisioneros will be allowed a 45-minute snuggle session with a court-appointed Federale to ensure the safety of both Federales y Prisioneros. There will be a five-step snuggle process as follows.
One.
Step uno. Preparing to snuggle. Hygiene general is mucho importante. All prisioneros and federales will be appropriately bathed and perfumed as necesario. Step dos. Lights will be dimmed. Pretty self-explanatory. Nothing's worse than a snaggletooth federale. Step tres. Snuggle accessories will be gathered. Pillows, blanquetos, etc. Step 14. Introducing Federale and Prisionario. This is a critical moment in the program. Many Prisionarios are initially hesitant towards their Federale. They should be ensured that the Federale will not bite and that no cavity searches will be performed during the snuggle session. Step quinceañera. Snuggling commences. Once the snuggle steps have been completed, snuggling enjoyment will be had by all, and the criminal's desire for drogas, organized crime, and destruction of public security will have vanished. Due to the anticipation of the success of SWF, Snuggling with Federales, couches and blanquetos have been strategically placed outside of all of El Chapo's known hiding places. The Federales have decided that it is probably too hard to find and capture El Chapo and think it will be easier to convince him to trade his life of smuggling for a life of snuggling.
Very good. SWF Korean Lemke. Yeah. Jesse Jones, SWF, what does it mean to you, please?
Well, SWF is a tragic condition, the effects of which are often more devastating to the loved ones of those afflicted than to the sufferer themselves, and whose cause can be directly attributed to the body's natural rejection of a sudden, dramatic influx of pumpkin spice into the female system. SWF, of course, stands for Seasonal Womanly Flatulence. Most notably associated with a sudden overpowering scent of burning leaves. Seasonal womanly flatulence persists mainly between the months of September and late December, compounding the effects of the violently expelled autumnal flavoring is the employment of additional layers in these cooler months, causing the trapped gases to build and ferment, often ultimately resulting in a released stench cloud that some victims, once resuscitated, have described as a cross between a styrofoam egg carton melting in a microwave and the inside of a homeless man's backpack on a hot August afternoon. Sufferers of SWF are asked to, for the love of God, just throw in a chai every once in a goddamn while.
That was Reorganization with... This brings us to our next segment, another fan favorite, called Movie Makeup. Here are some movie titles I made up. Please give a synopsis based off the provided titles. Steve Ferris, the title you were given was The End of Time... T-H-Y-M-E, The End of Time. There we go. What's it about?
Okay. You said it could be a documentary, so
yep.
I made it a documentary. It's a documentary about a brother and a sister who cook with time a lot. The sister's name is Rosemary, and the brother's name is Tim. Rosemary calls him Time because she cooks with him and she cooks with time.
All right.
It gets confusing a lot. The documentary sucks because you can't smell the time. But one day, Tim mysteriously disappears. A few years go by, and Rosemary stops cooking with time anymore. She's too sad.
It's too much for her. That was Rosemary.
So sad.
But then one day she finds a note from Tim with a recipe for thyme pesto. She makes it, hoping it will bring him back. It doesn't work, but it tastes good. And, It helps her find a new cooking partner.
That sounds intriguing.
The flavor of the time, you know, somebody tasted it and was like, wow, you know, can I cook with you now? You know, so it's kind of like...
So time heals.
Well, and you know how like sometimes...
Is that what you're saying?
Sometimes people feel like when somebody dies, you know, they help you find a replacement for them.
Right.
You know? So it's kind of like that.
Like a replacement grandma. Like when my grandma died, I went and found a replacement grandma.
Did you?
No.
Okay.
No.
Well, it doesn't always work, you know, but sometimes. Yeah.
Sometimes.
Oh,
sometimes. All right. Very good. Very good. Yeah. Very good, Steve.
Thanks.
Corrine. Corrine, question mark. You da man. E-W-E. Da man. You da... Yeah. I'm done being proud of
You're
myself.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
You Da Man stars Amanda Bynes in an off-base reboot of her 2006 classically bad film, She's the Man. She's the Man. In You the Man, Bynes' character, Sonia Stenson, is there to save the day when her twin brother desperately needs to win his private school's annual nationwide super-duper important sheep herding competition. the only way that Sonya, a.k.a. Amanda Bynes, can save the day and save her flailing acting career is if she pretends to be both a sheep and a talented character actress. Only problem is that while Sonya is under woolly cover, she falls in love with the hunky sheep herder, Patrick, played by, also career dead since the early 2000s, actor Chad Michael Murray. Only other problem is that Patrick is in love with Fluffkins, a sheep, played by an actual sheep named Fluffkins, and voiced by the always relevant Raven Simone. Only other problem is that Fluffkins, both in real life and in the movie, is in love with Amanda Bynes, a.k.a. Sonya, because Bynes is such a convincing actress that everyone thinks she is actually a sheep. Seriously, the director almost accidentally sold her to a local restaurateur to make lamb mutton with sherry and mushrooms. Here comes the real twist. In a blatant act of plagiarism, the writers for You Da Man appear to have stolen some major plot points from Bring It On. When they reveal that Fluffkins is a member of the rival black sheep herding team from the seedy part of Sheeptown. Fluffkins is hell-bent on beating the white sheep at the annual nationwide super-duper important sheep herding competition, in which they have never been able to compete because of financial hardships. Sonya doesn't want her hoity-toity white sheep crew to be disgraced by this colorful flock, and knows that the only way to win over Patrick is to beat Fluffkins by perfecting their super awesome sheep herding routine, in which the sheep walk through a gate. Fluffkins knows that her only way to win over Bynes and prove that it's not the color of your wool that matters, but the fiber diameter, crimp yield, and staple strength that matter. Spoiler alert. Everyone, and I mean everyone, in this movie fucks a sheep.
Very good, Corrine. Corrine, yes. Yeah. Jesse Jones, the name of your movie, The Story of Flan. It was late. It was late.
The Story of Flan is not that much different than yours or mine. Just with a vague accent. Flan, he goes to work, he drinks the wine, and he makes to love many beautiful women. Not that much different from yours or mine, no? Flan. He come home from work. Dinner is cooked by many beautiful women who feed flan. And then the lovemaking. Similar? Yes? Yes. Flan goes shopping for the food. Flan pick up egg. Flan pick up milk. Flan contemplate frozen treats. Flan decides no. Cheat day this week will be a single tangerine dipped in many beautiful women. Is the story of Flan a motion picture? I don't know. Is it? Is Flan real? Or is he simply who we wish to be? Am I Flan? I don't know. Am I? No. No, I am not Flan. Are you Flan then? Bullshit! You know in your heart you are not Flan. Is it could be then? That the spirit of Flan lives inside of us all? When we are to drink the wine. When we are to make love to many beautiful women. Then we are Flan? Ah. Now you see. Now you see Flan. Go. Be. Do. drink, love, tangerine, flan.
Very good. This brings us to the last segment of the first show, that was movie makeup. This next segment is called Write an Angry Poem About It, a poem with anger about the following subjects. Steve Ferris, you were to have written an angry poem about your last relationship. Corrine, you were to have written a poem about bounce houses. Jesse Jones, you were to have written an angry poem about the fundamentals of basketball. We're going to start with Steve Ferris, an angry poem about your last relationship.
Okay, well, I wasn't really that angry about it, so I was kind of tough to do. So I don't know if it's really going to seem that angry, but I'm still going to do it. So we started as friends. Friendship never ends, but we ended. I'll have to read that line again.
Smoke it, man.
But we ended up fucking.
Fucking.
That one didn't get as much of a laugh. Okay. But we ended up fucking a few times. But trucking? We couldn't keep on doing that. Like champagne for a rat. We fizzled out mutually. Rats can't burp unusually. Champagne goes flat without the lid. Safe to drink for a rat. And also go flat we did. I once gave you a wink. But if our relationship was a drink, a rat could drink it and live. We've become great friends. What gives? I guess our relationship is like a rat.
Okay. Yeah. Steve Ferris. Very good. Corrine, get angry about bounce houses with poetry.
Let me start by saying that bounce houses are wonderful.
I disagree.
Hello, stupid house, with your stationary walls made of wood and plaster. Where is my mesh siding? Hello, solid door made of oak or some sort of hickory. Why am I not challenged to fit my adult-sized body into your entrance? Hello, shoes, welcomed companions to my feet. Why are there no rigid standards for when you are and are not allowed to exist? Hello, floors, slick tile, high pile carpet, wooden panels. Where is the joyous bounce of youth and low risk of fungal infection? We were promised castles of jumping, a crown or a lordship. We would have taken a bounce house with a gaggle of bouncing children. We would have settled for a boingalo. Yes, a boingalow. Instead, our only electric blower is used for leaves. Our only slides are off the couch after an 8-hour Gilmore Girls marathon. The only time we jump is for... Who am I kidding? I never jump. Never. This fat, doughy existence of adulthood sucks. I want a boingalow. I demand a boingalow.
Very good. That was very... I feel like that could have been read during the vagina monologues. It had that, like, oh, angst, you know?
It's an intensity to it.
There was.
That That's how I feel.
A vagina
real.
Monologue.
All the real
intensity. Yeah. Jesse Jones. Take it to the hole with the fundamentals of basketball angrily.
Yeah. Value the ball. Bounce pass. Dribble drive. A silky smooth layup. Chest pass. Look alive. Your play makes me want to throw up. Anticipate. Don't look for a call. Don't flop around and fake a fall. Where the ball is isn't where you should be. You should be moving towards where the ball is gonna be. Don't step, shuffle. Don't jump, hop. If you don't know where the ball's going, then why'd your dribble stop? Hands up on D. Set a pick. Learn to roll. Use that double screen. The next time you box out, and I mean really box out, will be the first one from you that I've seen. Your handles are a shambles, and your post game is post up lame. It's called the charity stripe because it's the easiest part of the game. But your elbows are so wide, your stroke looks so funny. Only you can make free throws look like they cost money. Value the ball.
Very good. That was the first episode of Stab. One more time, Steve Ferris, Corey Lemke, and Jesse Jones. We will be right back with the second episode of Stab. If you want something to drink, Art's right there. And he will beverage you super hard. So we'll be right back.